We join with the psalmist who says, I love the Lord because he hears my request for mercy. We gather together to worship God, knowing that it is only by God's grace that we are able to come into God's presence, and because of that, we are thankful. Welcome to today's service of worship, whether you're here with us in person, online, Zoom, KFIZ, wherever it may be, we are glad gathering together to worship God. Today, as we worship, I invite you to, those who are here in person, grab those cue pads, fill those out, pass them along, take a look at what's all happening, many different things happening in the life of the church. One of the big things that's happening coming up here, beginning tomorrow, they are planning to come in. You probably noticed all of the road construction and the cones out front. They're going to be grinding off the top layer of the parking lot, and then later in the week, coming back in and laying down brand new asphalt or brand new recycled asphalt, whatever it may be, mixture of those, giving us a brand new parking lot. So towards the end of the week, while they're laying down the new asphalt, putting down the new striping, we ask that you stay off of the parking lot, if at all possible. And with that in mind, we were planning to do an outdoor worship out back at the pavilion next Sunday. But we thought, you're probably not going to want to be sitting out there breathing all those wonderful fumes off of new asphalt. So we decided to move the outdoor worship. So we'll be meeting at McDermott Park. So next Sunday, if you show up here, it's going to be blocked off. McDermott Park over on Johnson Street. We've got the pavilion reserved over there. So please join us there for an outdoor worship service. We're praying for great weather. Beautiful weather like we have here today. Then coming up on the 23rd of June, we will be having a congregational meeting immediately after worship for the election of new officers, elders, and deacons. And so that'll be happening right after worship. And then on the 23rd in the afternoon, you're invited to come back at 3 p.m. We'll be having installation service. So I will be officially installed by Winnebago Presbytery that afternoon. And we'll have other members from the community from around the presbytery here as part of that celebration. So please plan to join us for those as well. The other big announcement coming up a little bit in July, we're going to be watching The Chosen. Some of you have probably watched The Chosen. If you haven't, great time to get caught up. If you don't get caught up and you've never watched it, that's okay. Sort of like reading scripture, you can watch whatever it might be, whatever episode, without worrying about the other ones. But we've been approved as to show The Chosen Season 4, which has just come out now, and we're going to be watching that as a family of faith. So there's a couple of different times, Sunday or on Tuesday. So Sunday's at 6:30 starting July 7th, or Tuesday starting July 9th at 10:30 a.m., both of them here at church. I invite you to watch those at home, get caught up as well. So there'll be many other announcements, many things coming up here. Keep watching for all the new things that are happening around here. The greatest new thing, though, is that we are made new in Christ. Let us, at this time, set aside our old selves and allow the Spirit to give us new birth and allow that new being within us to take birth as the tolling of the bells bring in the light of Christ.
Good morning, and if you're able, will you please rise now for the call to worship? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of new beginnings. It is a time for growing into new disciples for Jesus. Come, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Let us be prepared for service to God. Amen. Let us pray. O God, bind us together as your family. Swing wide the doors of our hearts and the doors of our church, that we may welcome the stranger in. Give us a spirit of faith, that we may be your temples upon this earth, lovers of your law and givers of your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We live our lives tiptoeing around the facts that we often say words we should never have uttered. We do those things that we wish we could take back. Yet you would reach out to take us by the hand, so we walk together in the garden of grace. Let us offer our hearts and our brokenness to our God, who offers us mercy in these moments. Join me as we use the words found below, praying. From the basements of our lives, we lift our prayers to you. Parent of our hearts, we are convinced we know who our sisters and brothers are, and so ignore those you long for us to embrace. Somehow, that we have faults, so that we try to live up to their expectations. We are so intent on watching for all that could go wrong, we miss our hope rising above the horizon. And now please take just a few moments for your own silent confession. God of grace, if you kept a spreadsheet of our foolishness, we would be in big trouble. But you do not let our mistakes distract you from walking with us in every moment. And so we hear you calling us by name and welcoming us into your family of faith as we seek to follow Jesus Christ, our brother, into reaching out to all around us.
Hope in God, dear friends, for the one who listens to our prayers is the God who loves us. The one who knows our foolish lives better than we do is the God who forgives us. This is good news for us. No longer do we need to wait, but can rush into God's gracious embrace, knowing that God will walk with us even when we stumble, will continue to affirm us, and everyone else around us tears us down. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those gathered.
You may be seated. The first reading today comes from the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 138. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 577 of the New Testament, or Old Testament rather. And if you want to follow in the Common English Bible, it's on page 772. We'll be reading this responsively. I give thanks to you with all my heart, Lord. I sing your praise before all other gods. I bow towards your holy temple and thank your name for your loyal love and faithfulness, because you have made your name and word greater than everything else. On the day I cried out, you answered me. You encouraged me with inner strength. Let all the earth's rulers give thanks to you, Lord, when they hear what you say. Let them sing about the Lord's ways, because the Lord's glory is so great. Even though the Lord is high, he can still see the lowly, but God keeps his distance from the arrogant. Whenever I am in deep trouble, you make me live again. You send my power against my enemy's wrath. You save me with your strong hand. The Lord will do all this for my sake. Your faithful love lasts forever, Lord. Don't let go of what your hands have made.
Our second scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, into the beginning of chapter 5, verse 1. Listen for the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes to this church at Corinth, "We have the same faith spirit as what is written in Scripture. I had faith, and so I spoke. We also have faith, and so we also speak. We do this because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus, and he will bring us into his presence along with you. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude to increase, which results in God's glory. So we aren't depressed, but even if our bodies are breaking down on the outside, the person that we are on the inside is being renewed every day. Our temporary minor problems are producing an internal stockpile of glory for us that is beyond all comparison. We don't focus on the things that can be seen, but on the things that can't be seen. The things that can be seen do not last, but the things that cannot be seen are eternal. We know that if the tent we live in here on earth is torn down, we have a building from God. It's a house that isn't handmade, which is eternal and located in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. And today, we're going to do a puzzle together, so I need you to come forward a little bit closer to me. So I'm going to put the puzzle in the middle. Everybody want to take a piece? All right, so try to fit your puzzle piece in the puzzle. Where do you think it might go? Go ahead. This is trickier than we thought it was going to be, isn't it? There we go. All right. What do you think? Go ahead. Do you think you might know where it goes? This is a good way to work together. I think if you turn it around, turn. Oh, and stick it right over here. Maybe. Maybe not. Oh, look at that. Okay, next one up. Oh, that one was pretty easy after that first one was put in, isn't it? So we're getting our puzzle put together. We have, looks like we must have two pieces left. Uh-oh. Does anybody else have another piece? That is so frustrating. We are missing a piece of puzzle. Do you ever get frustrated by that? Sometimes our toys get broken. Sometimes things are missing, right? Sometimes we grow out of our favorite shoes. Have you ever had that happen? Yes. Or your bike is just like too small now. You brought it out for the summer and it's too small. Oh, that's so frustrating when that happens. But did you hear that scripture that Pastor just read? It talks a little bit about that. I'm going to read what it said. We don't focus on the things that can be seen. Can we see our puzzle? Yep, we can clearly see there's a piece missing. Yes. So we don't focus on those things. On the things that we can't be seen. What are some things we can't see? Well, one of the things I know that I can't see, but I know is there, is the love of God, the love of my family. Can you see that? Can't see it, but you can feel it, can't you? You know it's there. So it says that we should focus on the things that we can't see. Because these other things, toys, all of those things, they're going to go away. They're going to get broken. They're going to get lost. But we need to focus on the things that we can see. Our friendships, our relationships, the love that we have with our families, the love of God, that's the stuff we need to focus on. Oh, I don't know about you, but do you ever get frustrated with your brother or your sister? Do you ever frustrate mom and dad? Yeah. Maybe have some disagreements with your friends? Yeah. So those are things that we should focus on, we should fix, we should work on. How do you work on that? How do you work on when you get upset with your sister? What do you do when you get upset with your brother? What we need to do is we need to talk with them. Sometimes those conversations are really tough. Do you ever have to say a difficult conversation? Talk about things you just don't really want to have to talk about? Maybe you did something that wasn't really nice. Maybe they did something that wasn't really nice. And you got to talk about it, and it's tough. But the thing to remember is that you don't talk about those things all by yourself. One of those parts of that love that's inside you is the love of God. The love of God is there to help you have that hard conversation, that difficult conversation. So when you're having those troubled times, you don't just pretend it didn't happen. You make sure you talk about it. So you talk about it with love, with God's love, and you make things better. You work it out together because God is there with you. And that love of God also brings us that hope too, the hope that we know that things will get better because God is always with us and God loves us always. So hopefully you won't have any missing puzzle pieces this summer. And you won't have any clothes that don't fit that you really wanted to wear. Or you won't have something break. But we know that those things will all happen. And sometimes we'll have difficult days with our family and our friends. And those things will happen too. But those are the things we can work on with God's help. Let's take some time and let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We thank you for the people that you put into our lives that help us learn more about you and more about your love. And we thank you that you are with us every moment that we have. You are helping us on those days that we are angry or frustrated, on the days that we're sad and lonely. We know that you are with us, helping us to find our way in the world. We pray thanksgiving for the gift of you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your holy word. Your holy word, which does not change, and yet in the midst of all the changes of our world, we hear your word fresh. Speak to us today. Speak through me, use me, the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, to be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, we took a look at the verses that came just before the text prescribed to us today. We noted during last week's sermon that we need to be able to name our weaknesses in such a way that in our shared life, that our shared life together carries with it the experiences of being united in the death and life of Jesus. I said that the treasure of the gospel is being united in the death and life of Jesus in order that we might experience the treasure of resurrection moments. We need to have those weaknesses and those little moments that we allow portions of our life to die so that we might have new life. The Apostle Paul is proclaiming the truth of the resurrection in this passage, and that although our outer nature, our physical bodies are wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. That is the good news that we need to be telling one another. That's the good news we need to be proclaiming to the world. It's not about what we see on the outside. It's not about our earthly human bodies dying. It's about that new life that Christ gives to us. The world proclaims a message that's based primarily on youthfulness. Western culture is obsessed with youthfulness. You can't get through a single day without some form of youthful marketing, it seems. At least, I've been noticing that every single day. There's some sort of an advertisement someplace, whether it's a billboard, a radio commercial, TV commercial, something that we see as we're scrolling on screens or pop-ups on our computers. How to stay young, how to look young if we're not staying young, how to feel young, all sorts of new medications, all sorts of ways that we can stay young. Now, some of these are actually positive, they're helpful, they're healthy messages, that if we follow them, we're going to age better. We're going to be able to enjoy life more fully. But there are others that are a little bit different. There's a difference between staying healthy as we age and striving for youthfulness at any cost as a primary point of our focus, as if we're looking for some magical fountain of youth that is going to prevent us from any kind of aging and physical death. We're going to live forever. Who really wants to live in this world forever when we know the good news of the world that awaits us, of being in God's presence in perfection? And yet we are here. The youthfulness that I'm talking about, that the world talks about, are two different things. Our culture's obsession with youthfulness has been melded together, merged into one, as if it's a byproduct of our authentic self. That is part of our modern culture. You need to be true to who you are. Find out who you are deep down. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks of you. You need to be who you are. We've been so caught up in all of the power of marketing that we don't even see the irony of all this. We strive to be uniquely authentic to our deepest inner self by becoming just like whatever the youthful marketing advertising is telling us we should be like. And we see those ideals. And even though we know we can't get to that, maybe if I can get a little bit closer, that will help. Knowing that we can't stay young, we can't be truly authentic, we do whatever we can to look young, to seem authentic on the outside. So we put on a mask, sometimes literally, sometimes more often metaphorically. We look a certain look. We dress a certain way. We want to have validity in our culture. We want people to look at us and to say, oh, wow, he's got it all together. He's young. The church as a whole has even bought into all this striving for youthfulness and authenticity. I don't know how many times churches have said, oh, our congregation is dying, so we just need to put up a new building, tear down the old and put up a new building, and then everybody's going to come. We're going to look so much newer. Or we have to hire a new young pastor that's got 50 years experience, but has to be a young pastor though. That way we look young. Or we need to hire someone to work with children and youth, because then we'll bring in children and youth and then we'll be a youthful congregation. And, oh, that's what's going to be necessary. Or technology-wise, we've got to get the latest technology just so we can stay hip. Okay, spoiler, for those using the term hip, we're no longer hip. That's already gone. And yet that is the sort of thing that we do as a church. As I've said before, Leonard Sweet pointed out that it took about 40 years for the overhead to get from the bowling alley into the church. That continues to happen. We sometimes resist technology, and sometimes we do it for the wrong reasons. Having a new building, having a youthful pastor, having an older pastor, having children's ministry, having technology, they can all be good. But why? Why do we do those things? That's what's most important. We've slowly been deceived into seeing so many of these things as an indicator of vibrant faith of our congregation. And our identity as individuals is based off of what the congregation looks like. And we hear comment after comment from many mainline churches that are getting smaller and smaller, and, oh, well, if we're smaller, we're no longer vibrant, we're no longer valid. We're now seeing a change in that and seeing many small congregations living out their faith and being a vibrant faith community. impacting God's kingdom. But for many of us, our identity, it's been formed around this authentic youthful image portrayed by capitalistic marketing campaigns. So we need to revisit, we need to relearn what real faith looks like. I don't have an exact answer because it is complicated, it's complex, there's many layers to it. Andy Root provides some helpful understanding. He writes, "Faith for Paul is not sure commitment, but the experience of being found in Christ, of being found in union with him and in and through the negation of the cross. Faith," he writes, "is a transcendent encounter with the person of Jesus through negation, which forges a ministry of union that can turn death into life. This faith calls us to participate in the life and saving activity of God by becoming ministers." And just when you think that the Apostle Paul is the only one who could write complex sentences that you have to really parse apart, Dr. Andy Root comes in and shows him up in a sense. It's complex. There's a lot in here, but let me unpack it. Connect it in with today's text. Faith is more than just a commitment. It's more than membership in a local congregation. Faith is more than academic or intellectual affirmations of a particular set of doctrines or a certain set of beliefs. Faith is more than a certain style of clothing, more than any superficial mask that we might agree to wear. Faith is something more than that. It's the experience of being found in Christ. It's that experience of being in union with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can see. It's not something that we can easily measure quantifiably. I can count how many people are sitting in the pews, but I can't begin to say what any of your faith quantities are. Faith is that helpless experience of letting go, setting aside everything that we've been taught gives us a sense of control, allowing our deepest inner self to die. Who we think we are, those things that we've been striving for our entire life, to let go of those so that Christ might be born anew within us. That's hard. If we're honest, that's scary for most of us. We don't like letting go. We would much prefer that decent and orderly Presbyterian way of life. We would much prefer to neatly compartmentalize everything, even our faith. It's much more appealing for us to be able to learn how to even compartmentalize God and make God useful. Yeah, I go to church on Sunday morning. I do this Bible study. But yet, is God and our faith part of everyday life? For many, it is not. But for more and more, it is becoming important. The pendulum is swinging back, I do believe. It begins by naming our weaknesses. And that is scary, especially in today's world. To be able to name our mistakes requires a sense of trust. To be able to realize, as I got up before the sermon, and I was thinking, we had talked earlier this week about Chris just playing a little bit of music as the kids are going, "Jesus Loves the Little Children," or something like that. I knew we had added in a song there. As I walked up to get ready for my sermon, I'm like, this isn't "Jesus Loves Me." Oh yeah, that's not what we're doing. We need to be able to admit those things and to be able to say, "I messed up. Okay, I'll sit back down." When we admit our mistakes, examples of the world around us is that people will use those mistakes against us. All you have to do is look at politicians. How many people do not want to ever run for any political office because they know every detail of their life is going to be drug up out of the mud? And more that people's lives are out on social media and on the internet, you can't get rid of it. It's there. It's scary to find those safe places that we can name our weaknesses. We can say, you know what? I'm struggling. I'm messed up. I don't get this. So we gather together with people, and deep down we're saying, I don't trust you. And you don't trust me either. Until we develop those relationships and get to know one another. And we wonder why, when the church goes out to help other people, intending good without those relationships being built first, that things really don't seem to take root. Relationships are important. So we find it easier just to put on a mask, systematize our doctrinal faith, compartmentalize God into some nice little youthful package that we can become whatever we think is our most authentic self. The only ones that we can trust are the ones who look like us, act like us. The ones, at least the way that we see who we are or who we want to be. And so we associate with them. We need to learn how to cultivate relationships with people who are different than us, even opposite from us. This is exactly what's happening to the Apostle Paul. He's different. And he's apparently being attacked by people, and he's being put down. They're saying he's a fake, he's a fraud, he shouldn't be trusted. There were many other younger people probably who were much more persuasive in their speaking. They really knew how to get things done. It fit more with what people wanted. In response, the apostle references Psalm 116. It is written, I had faith and so I spoke. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hears my requests for mercy. I'll call out to him as long as I live because he listens closely to me. Death's ropes bound me. The distress of the grave found me. I came face to face with trouble and grief. You, God, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, and my foot from stumbling. So I'll walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I have remained faithful even when I said, I'm suffering so badly. Faith is found in naming our weaknesses. Naming our weaknesses in a manner that allows us to experience that mystical union of being in Christ. We can't see, we can't name, but we can experience it. We need to set aside all that gives us a sense of power, laying down all that gives us a sense of control, allowing our worldly human nature to die on the cross with Christ so that we might be given new life. We might become the authentic self that God created us to be, living in community with others who also are laying down their masks of control and power, and together, learning what it means to minister to one another. Be in Christ. Allowing our outer nature that is dying to become meaningless, to allow that inner nature of Christ to burst forth. How do we do that? By continuing to tell our stories, to name, here's what's going on in my life. To name, these are my weaknesses. Here's my questions. and to listen to other people tell their stories. As we listen to their different stories, we begin to find some new answers and to say, oh, that's a piece of the puzzle that I was missing. That's what I needed to hear. That's where God is at work in my life. It's only in being honest with our imperfect human limitations that we can encounter and embrace the true salvation that is offered by our God. We need to learn to speak of our weaknesses so that the power of Christ may be seen in us, through us, and even in spite of us. Excited that in the months ahead, we're going to be starting a new series, not just a sermon series, not just a worship series, but a new series of faith growth. Inviting people to tell stories, to say, here's where I see God at work, here's where I see the scripture lived out. Just in brief moments, in safe spaces, and to share these stories with one another, so we can continue to grow in faith. Continue to allow Christ to change us and give us that new life. We have faith. So let us speak. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. This time I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes, our offerings. May we place our imperfect, dying selves in Christ's hands and offer ourselves to be reborn, to have that new life, and to be made into God's people anew in thanksgiving.
What is the world like?
Lord, we offer these gifts back to you in thanks. Take these gifts, take us, multiply us, use us, mold us and shape us to further your kingdom here in this place and around the world to your glory. Amen. Let us turn to God in a time of intercessory prayers for God's people. Almighty, gracious God, as we gather together in this place, we give thanks for the comforts that we have, for the abilities to be able to gather together freely. We thank you for the opportunities to gather via technology. We thank you for the many, many blessings that we have. But we also have broken hearts thinking of those who are not able to gather together with anyone that they love, those who are being oppressed, those who are in the midst of war-torn countries, those who are made slaves, those who are struggling to make it through yet another day, those who are laying in a hospital room, in a hospice bed, knowing each breath might be their last. We think of those who sit with those unable to provide healing that they might think is appropriate, and finding it hard to simply sit and to be present. Lord, break us out of all of the molds this world has created around us. Lord, allow us to open the eyes of our hearts to see the way that you see the world, to be able to see our neighbor, the outsider, the person who is off to the side, an outcast, as our sister, our brother. Allow us to find ways to connect with one another, to not simply share out of the multitude of the blessings that we have, but to truly sit, to dwell, to slow ourselves down enough to be present with others, to listen not only to their stories, but to listen to the silence and brokenness of their hearts, to listen to the stories that cannot be told. Lord, take the blinders off our eyes and allow us to see one another as you see us. Lord, help us to not focus on all the imperfections of our life. Allow us to strive to continue to become more and more like you. Allow us to do everything as if we are doing it unto you, but allow us to do it in a way that is not feeding into what the media and the culture around us tells us it should be. Lord, help us to tell the stories of our life, those stories of faith that are caught in the midst of all the struggles, the pain, the emptiness. Lord, give us comfort in the midst of those uncomfortable moments of silence. Allow us to trust you more and more. Lord, as you teach us to gather together, to read your word, to meditate on it, to share it, to pray together, to care for one another, to minister to one another. May we find those new ways to be your people here in this place at this time, ways that will have an impact on generations to come. Allow us to become more and more like you, Lord, beginning afresh now as we lift our voices together, praying the prayer that you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending hymn, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. To join us for Growing Connections to hear about some of those struggles in life that we face and how God provides those unique ways, speaking to us and helping us to overcome those struggles. And also a reminder, next Sunday, don't come back here. Don't come here next Sunday. Come to McDermott Park and enjoy outdoor worship over there. Then the following Sunday, come back. But let us continue to gather together. As we go out into this world, may we go out into the world knowing that we are a new creation. May we leave the old behind. May we see as God sees. May we speak the stories that tell of God's glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.